Oh my God, is he breathing? It's time for devil's business.
Grab his feet. I got it. I got
grab
it.
His feet. He's so grab his heavy. Feet.
Welcome to the show that covers sex, drugs, and rock and roll lives of the people that are still awake while all the wholesome people are sound asleep. I'm your host, Patrick Jolly, and with me are the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com. Nick, Alcoholic, and Aaron Sofane. I wanted to start the show this time. This is actually going to be a Kill the DJ episode, and this is the best story ever told. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about our launch party that was last Thursday, September 5th.
That was. It was amazing, and it was at Tongue and Groove, and wow, what a great night.
They were really awesome for us, and they just took care of us, and we got to...
They did. It was great. Everybody looked good. We all dressed up. It was...
And a shout-out to Angie Starr and Teal.
Teal Ann for being our promo girls. They rocked the black dresses and heels for me, just like I like. And, man, they were awesome, just handing out the business cards and talking to people like, check out the website. They did good.
Yeah, by the way, if you're listening to this and not on the website is devilsbusiness.net.
That's where we put up all of our stupid stories and make you laugh.
We got the blog, got the videos.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
But anyway, going on this Friday is something I want to announce as a big shout out to Joey G, our yellowmojo.com. What is it?
Joey
G photographer.
Y-E-L-L-O.
Yeah.
Mojo.
So anyway, his birthday is...
Poor bastard.
We got to pay per letter. But his birthday is on Friday, and to celebrate, he's having a party at Havana, and it's called Zombie Apocalypse. He's going to actually have people like dressed like zombies
like so back in the gallery.
So that's going on
nice.
Friday night.
Also, we got that big new event that MyFavoriteSin.com is hosting down at Cosmolava in Midtown. We've been hanging out there lately, Patrick. It's awesome. I mean, I have a good time.
I love the bar staff there, so it makes sense for us to be hanging out there as well. So we start that on Friday 13th.
Yeah, it's going to be a great kickoff party. Hopefully everybody can make it out, including people in the room. Just, you know.
So Friday's a big day. We got Joey's birthday and then also Cosmo. So that's going to be...
It's going to be... we're going to be taking cabs and not remembering at the end of the night.
I got to stop making fun of the Ugandan cab driver.
It's just like my rule. You got to take care of the people that take care of you. He's getting you home safe.
I know.
Hopefully
he got me
not
home
dead.
Safe, and I'm just mocking him.
Such a dick.
It hit me right before we started this podcast. It just hit me that I was completely rude and inappropriate to the Ugandan, but like not on purpose. He was on the phone. So I'm sitting there going, he's not paying attention. So I just started doing
he can hear you.
Yeah, I know. But then I realized he's got super soft hearing or sharp hearing. He heard everything I was doing because I kept going, I don't know you. I do not.
You're such a dick. Those guys are awesome, man.
I know. The guy was super cool, and I was just being a dick, and I started clicking at him. I'm like, wow, this is impossibly racist. And I don't know why I was doing it.
It was Fireball.
But I went two Jaegers before I left, so the Fireball...
Oh, really?
Got ignited actually by the Jaeger, so it kicked off. Well, because I had so many fireballs.
Well, just so everybody knows, last night we did our Saturday night promotion at Tongue and Groove, and man, I love that place. The lights come on, and I'm just don't want to leave. So hang out a little bit more.
The one thing I don't want to see is Nick under lights. Have you ever seen this man with fluorescent light? Oh my God, the glare. It's like Bull from Night Court.
He's all sweaty and
nice
red
reference. Jesus.
But like I said, this is the Kill the DJ episode, which is the best story ever told. And this is actually a friend episode, because this is actually how I became friends with you assholes.
This is how we all met.
This happened, I guess, about 7 years ago or so.
Long time.
That
Jesus.
Long ago?
It's almost 7 years, maybe longer than that. I don't know.
Terrible.
But
it was 2006, mm-hmm. 2007, something like that.
Something like that.
Right there.
Because I came... And the story happened in December. I first met you guys at the end of November, and
it was at Fever, right, or Havana?
No, Havana. I went to my buddy Chad Burns. Shout out to Chad.
Shout out to Chad. You're a great bartender.
Was my bartender from when I turned 21 on. He was
When you lived in the Rednecks.
Yeah, when I was going out to the Wild Bills and all that shit and Cowboys and
with
stuff.
With your shit kickers on, so you can dance in unison.
Oh, I would line dance and I would two step and I would swing dance.
Yeah, don't say it sarcastically. Doesn't make it go away.
Dude, let's not talk about
you know
your buckle.
I'm gonna take y'all out line dancing some night. Hey, you live.
I would love it.
Do you live out in Acworth now? That's
shit.
Now.
I would totally,
have to drive far.
Totally hate it.
So, you'll actually have way more fun than you think. Dude, but anyway,
another story.
I went down one night to Havana, met these guys, very briefly.
I got to tell you, I don't remember meeting you.
You're such an arrogant asshole. You wouldn't pay attention to anybody unless they were giving you a head.
Nick, what's his name?
So yeah,
sorry,
it's definitely not Chief Aaron.
So I met. This
sometimes
was,
I say support.
This was the time when y'all were still a part of Armada Magazine, and so I met all the. It was the four Armada guys. It was Josh, Max, Aaron, and Nick.
Right.
Or Alcohol Nick.
So Fane,
Rockstar, and Maximus. Yeah. And so everyone had to have a fucking name. And so
God bless
I come down
space.
There and I met.
Yeah, we
I
miss
met,
you.
I met met Nick. Maybe briefly met Aaron. I don't think I really talked to him at all. And then on that Saturday night is when I kind of brought up a little bit with Nick because he gave me a free shot. And
Jaeger is a great fucking
that's
introduction.
How you make friends.
Brings people together.
So that
tears them apart too.
The following Thursday is when I got the news that y'all were doing a party down in Florida, down in Pensacola.
Yeah, there was a beach club down there that I work with, and every year we were throwing these Bad Santa veterans. We've actually done a few lately here in Atlanta, Tongue and Groove, all that.
Right. We're actually doing parties there before we moved up.
Right.
And so I got the invite. And Max kind of said, "Hey, you know, next Friday we're going to be down in Pensacola and stuff. If you want to come down, you know, more than welcome." And I was like, "You know, I love Pensacola. I'll go down." But I really didn't know you guys well enough to like trust you yet. But I was like, "You know what? They seem nice enough." I was like, "I'll go down. They're a bunch of douchebags."
Hey man, they spread the wealth on the alcohol. That's yeah. Nice.
It's like I'll drive 5 hours, 5.5 hours just to give y'all get me drunk.
Okay. Yeah, free shots.
So, yeah, exactly. So anyway, the Friday morning, I hop up and jump in my truck, and start.
You jumping, Betty?
Yeah, jumping, Betty.
Z71, right?
Super sweet Z71, and I rocket sauce down to Pensacola. Y'all get down there, I guess, shortly afterwards, and I guess y'all all came in different vehicles. It was a
scattered way of everybody getting down there all
at
the same time.
I drove down by myself. I didn't even know we had a meeting time.
Yeah,
I thought I was first.
Apparently he was not.
I was not first.
I rode down the Tahoe with the guys and the DJ that we're talking about.
Who all was in the car? You had Joey with you.
Yeah, it was. I believe it was like
the photographer. Joey, yeah, the photographer was with
Joey,
you.
Max, Mike, and then me. I believe maybe Mitch was there.
Mitch
too.
Had to have been in there somewhere.
Yeah, he might have been in the truck as well.
Mitch is a guy that was another hanger on like me. Just kind of hung out the crowd just to get the free drinks, and he just needed a spot. His name actually isn't even Mitch.
Yeah, that's from a separate party down in Florida.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, y'all all have really cool nicknames, and then he got like the worst nickname ever.
That's because
in the lamest way too.
Yeah,
but anyways.
Well, we were at Hooters, and it was carved into our paper towel holders. Somebody carved in Mitch, and Mitch was here, and so I don't know. We just
he was like
him
sitting
name.
There, right? He was just.
He was sitting there like, "Hey, Mitch, did you cover it? My name's David." Like, "No, your name's Mitch."
And that's funny because even when towards coming back and all that, we would just change his name. He's like, "My name's David." I was like, "No, dude, your name's Mitch."
Yeah.
That's your name now.
Embrace
and
it.
And no one would call him his real name.
Yeah. It just it got locked in. And I think now it's almost he started embracing it. Like,
yeah.
He was being like,
yeah.
Hi, I'm Mitch. Because
yeah,
he realized
choice.
That
he would. He
no
did.
One would know who he was if he didn't just go by Mitch.
Because there are a lot of Davids out there.
So when I get down to Pensacola and I meet up, I park in the parking lot of the club. And that's when I see y'all start pulling.
Yeah,
up.
We had to do the sound check thing at the downtown location.
So this is like mid-afternoon.
Yeah, it was still daylight. It was still daylight out.
So we get in there. I remember seeing Aaron walking in, and I just didn't want to talk to him because he's a douche. And then finally, I saw Joey and Max and
Nick
start walking in. So I run over and walk into the club midday, which is the first time I've ever seen a club during day hours. It was kind of weird. But we walked in there and got to have the sub sandwiches. They were giving us a treat.
Delicious
sub sandwiches.
Yeah, we were sitting. Remember that at that rock bar portion of that club? Oh, it was cool. It was cool. It
was
all separate.
Final meal.
Now,
I'm not going to be
eating
for a while.
That's when we all found out that we were not staying at the Grand Hotel, which is right next to the club.
Like literally,
and it's grand.
Is
nice.
It's the
king
size beds. Ooh, they're good.
Top
shelf.
So we found out we were not staying in the nice hotel that was right, you know, 2 blocks away. That they put us all the way out on the beach.
Yeah, that was fun.
Which is 5.5 miles away.
And through a gauntlet of police jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah. You're going through. You got a toll road. You got police all over the place.
It's not
and
fun.
We got to get all the way out to the beach section of Pensacola and stay in the shitty hotel that smells like piss because of all the construction workers that were there to fix the
Yeah, but it's right on the beach.
I know, and that's also
in December.
You got to remember too. It's one of those beach hotels that is nice enough, but like during like the season, they charge like $120 a night. But then at the end of the season, you've just had every kid and every party and every construction worker come in there and shit.
Well, because they had all the hurricanes that came through, so a lot of construction workers were just in town and they were just renting out these hotels. And so the construction
Do you just
workers,
piss in the corner?
Yeah, they're dirty people. All right, the dirty construction worker just pissed all over.
Is that a boot print on the roof?
How did they do that? But so
spider.
I remember we get there. And y'all had three hotel rooms, and I decided I was going to go ahead and get a hotel there. And they asked me, you know, do you want your hotel room next to theirs, or do you want somewhere separately? And I kind of debated for a second if I even want to be next to you guys.
Is this a good idea?
But I went ahead, you know, fortune favors bold. I'll hang out with these guys, and I'll put – so it was four rooms that we had all on the line. And
which is just a recipe for a great time and a disaster.
Apparently, when Max walked into my room, he realized my room smelled the least like piss. And so he just moved his shit in. And
he just commandeered it.
Yeah, he goes moving in. And then he ran off. And this is when I started I wasn't sure on y'all yet. Like I said, I wasn't quite sure on you. And that's when I found out he had to go get hairspray.
Right.
And I said, oh, there's a Walgreens right here across the street. And he goes, I don't get Walgreens hairspray, okay? He goes, I get salon hairspray. And immediately I'm like, these guys are gay.
You fucking dick.
So, yeah, he had to run off and get some expensive hairspray from some salon or something. And
he had to run to Quartova Mall, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, because he broke off for a little while like to go get
hairspray. I get that he's too good for Walgreens hairspray, but to me it's like you're in Pensacola.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit.
Well, that was the thing. When we came back, it was like, you know, a hero's welcome because it was just so much fun. And you're just so different being from Atlanta and the club scene. Then you get there and just the little things like, you know, wearing nice shoes instead of flip-flops kind of sets you apart from the crowd. And it's a recipe for a really good time.
Yeah, we had been up in Atlanta for a year, and we were, you know, it was our coming home party, and we wanted to look nice.
Yeah. Aaron and I are running through Phipps Plaza like, oh, what are you going to get? Oh, I'm going to Armani. Yay!
I cannot believe I hang out with you.
I love some of this Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, Dolce & Gabbana.
So, we all kind of segregate into our different rooms, and at some point, my room got stapled as like the community room.
Yeah, it was like Party Central. It was like, right, you know, everyone was running, the one guy's room.
Yeah, it was like my door got wedged open.
Everybody would rendezvous.
Yeah, coming in and out, and what time we're leaving, and what are you wearing? And that's when I started noticing that Nick and Max were having arguments over what color shirt they were wearing. Because, oh, he's wearing a red shirt. I was going to wear a red shirt.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well,
it
was a Christmas party. I want to wear red. I want to look good.
Yeah, but why do you give a shit what he's wearing?
Because I look better.
Don't hog the color.
I know. I want it to be on me. I wanted red tonight.
Are y'all anybody listening? Are y'all getting this? Good God. So
I know I didn't care because I always wear black.
Oh.
It's sad.
Slimming.
It's sad.
He's crying inside.
Just on the inside. Like mean on the outside.
Aaron was the rock star emo kid, which is strange because Nick apparently was the one that grew up the emo skater kid.
Yeah.
Aaron did the image better in the later years.
Listen to like White Snake.
Right. And just to anybody listening, to give this a better description, think Chris Angel, like overly flared, weird hair, and just kind of douchey.
Yeah.
That was Aaron.
Face covering sunglasses.
Yeah,
all
the giant
time.
Girl glasses that were, you know, like goggles.
And in different colors. Yeah. Remember when Aaron would match his wristbands to his sunglasses?
Of course. Of course. It all had to coordinate.
I love the white outfit would come out, especially in the summertime where it was like, it's white t-shirt night. White overall wristbands. White sunglasses. Oh, white ring.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Aaron wore a lot of rings. So it would be like on every finger, these big, chunky, like Keith Richards style rings.
And that's like how he would accent his conversation.
Yeah, when he would talk, he would use his hands a lot and he had to get his point across. It's almost like a jingling click, click, click sound you'd hear as he hits points in his story. Click, click, click.
I'm
click,
trying click. To hypnotize you.
God, no shit.
It's just annoying. But so when we all, you know, get in our rooms, we're all getting ready and stuff like that. And Max decides he's going to take us all down to the sushi place down the road. And so we all go get dinner and as a big group, and the DJ's being a douche nozzle too.
Which we were at, we were down the street at the nice beach hotel.
We had to drive down to the nice beach hotel to get nice sushi. Food.
But I mean, hey, you gotta admit.
The lobby bar at the Comfort Inn wasn't serving, so we had to go.
Yeah, another place to get liquor in a plastic cup. Right. Looks like you could use it for mouthwash. So let's go to the nice place.
So we go down
the
there. People with shoes have a couple cocktails. And this is, so we had to head back to the hotel. And that's when I realized we'd gotten, that y'all had gotten a limo. And
yeah, whenever we throw parties down there, they're so good about taking care of us and shit like that. Stuff that makes you feel really like appreciated, mm-hmm. which is hard to come by sometimes in the club industry. So like I would be talking to I would talk to the manager, and he's like, Nick, you guys need to chill out for a little while. Like we're letting a lot of people show up. We want to do kind of like an entrance kind of thing. You got the big DJ out of town, your party, da 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 da. He's like, I've got the limo coming out. And that's awesome. He's like, how many people do you have?
It was one of those like marquee limos, like the giant bus
that had a stripper pole.
Yeah,
in
stripper
it.
And I mean, the thing was crazy.
But they were really good to us like that. Oh. So then that's when you know.
And so I'm, because this was like I said, this is only like the second week I ever hung out with y'all. So I'm immediately just kind of like,
he's like, these guys are douches, but this is kind of cool.
I was like, I feel like a rock star.
Yeah, so, actually, dinner was the first time I'd ever talked to Patrick.
Right.
That I can remember.
That's when he realized I was funnier than him.
Yeah,
and it was
still to. To this day.
But so when we pull back in, I see this giant bus limo, and there was already like 20 girls hanging around it. Like,
yeah.
It was like you're called in the Pussy Patrol, and they all showed up.
We did. We sent out a few text messages, and they showed up good.
And and the thing is, the chicks are already drunk.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Better.
I'm sitting there going like, yeah, let's go party, man. Let's jump in a limo with the girls and go to the club. And then
we got the call again, didn't we?
Yeah, I got a call, and it was like, don't come yet. And I thought it was hilarious. Y'all are paid to come down there and throw a party, and the club keeps telling you, stay away.
Yeah.
The club keeps wanting to push it back. So it wasn't until it was close to
midnight.
Well,
oh, my God. Like, by the time we did roll up, and I don't know if we're jumping around the story, but when we did roll up, I do remember there was a line.
Oh,
like
it was
way
it
the
was,
fuck down the
it was
street.
Wrapped around the club.
And that's exactly what they wanted. And then, like,
they wanted
when we
people
pulled
to see y'all get out of the limo and walk
was,
in.
It was
and
fucking,
they
it was,
probably wanted to go ahead and switch out all the glassware at their VIP tables with plastic before we could get in there and break it all.
Maybe a drop cloth or two. Right.
Someone is going to shit in this VIP section, so lay down some stuff. Let's get some puppy pads. So,
again.
I might shit my pants, you guys.
They're known for that. Anyway, but yeah, I remember thinking this is awesome. But then I thought it was really funny that the club kept telling y'all not to come down yet.
They wanted to
hold off. So we're just sitting in this piss smelling thing, which is where I started realizing Aaron was going through wardrobe changes. What he had at dinner, what he was wearing at dinner, was no longer what Aaron was wearing.
Aaron was quite the master of the fucking wardrobe changes in our fucking.
It's like
Axl
Rose in the middle of a concert, just kept changing. Like, all of a sudden, now he's wearing a cowboy hat.
Well, we had a photographer with us, and you've got to be in different outfits to make it look like it's different parts of. Time.
Yeah, you want the trip to look like it's forever.
Y'all can't see me, but I'm just staring at Aaron like he's a moron. But God, that's a level of arrogance. Well, even your name being so fain, like that was calling yourself so fain, was like he actually did fit the part.
Yeah,
I mean, it went really well.
I preferred Sophie or Fainy, to be honest. Fainy. Those are two of my favorites.
Well, now he's so tame. Like,
yeah, so tame.
Oh, I'm a good boy.
He was talking about fescue last week. I can't take him seriously anymore.
We can get. We need to have
a home
improvement lawn grasses podcast so I can
dump his microphone.
Teach people.
Please dump his microphone.
Anyway, so I'm hanging out with the four guys, Josh wasn't there this time.
Hey guys,
but. You know, Max was like the leader of the group, and then you got Aaron, who's the overflared rock star, and then you got Nick, who's the alcoholic.
Oh, nice
meathead.
Nice.
You know, and it was like, and I showed up. I fit the bill a little bit.
You joined the band nicely. You really filled it out.
I had like a mohawk. I didn't realize how douchey I looked until I saw me with you guys. I'm like, I fit.
Why do I see?
Like one of those Dr. Seuss's. Like I realize I have a star on my stomach. And you all have a star on your stomach. I'm like, yay! I found the right people, and I didn't know that I was like, I was adopted years ago and didn't realize this is where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
So
whole time thinking. We suck.
I know. I was in there going, what douches? And then I saw me in a mirror and I'm wearing an Affliction shirt and jazzed hair. I'm like,
you got fingernails painted.
I know. I was like, God.
I was like, fit right in.
Me too, guys. Right? Right? Yeah, me too.
Like the fucking board just assimilated to douche-em.
So,
it just sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
So anyway, when we finally get the green light to go down to the club, I noticed, there's a cop hanging outside of the limo bus.
Oh, right. And that's right.
Because he was a little confused why it was so loud and the girls were just kind of wandering around the park.
Right.
But then we told him that we're going out to the party and the cop decides to give us an escort. So we ended up having a police escort all the way the 5.5 miles, which looks awesome.
He's just blowing through the lights. And
yeah. And so when you come pulling up to the club, all of a sudden it's just.
There's the cops are here.
The cops are, flashing lights.
And they're fucking
and they're
blaring
those
sirens.
Yeah, they're shutting down traffic.
Half the line cuts and runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're holding McNeely. And so he comes in. He comes in. The lights blazing thing. They're shutting down traffic. You get the bus into the parking lot, and there's just a line coming around the club.
Yeah,
I'm
retarded.
And I'm sitting there, and there's photographers and girls dancing on the pole. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. I mean,
it's a good time.
I had just left Wild Bill's, so this was not what I was expecting.
You're like, I can't believe this happens, and I don't know about it.
Right.
It's one of those things.
This is something I see.
Missing this
true Hollywood story, kind of thing. This is, living the party rock star lifestyle, and then he, crashes Ferrari and his friend died.
Well, yeah, because the background on all of this is that we're a bunch of rednecks and beach billies who had no clue that that was available or even you could pull it off. And really? You're going to pay us to do this?
We miss you, River Phoenix.
Jeez. Viper Room.
Yeah.
Too
soon.
We come pulling up, and this is the other part that was really cool. As we're leaving the bus, and everyone's kind of paying attention. They got the photographers are snap. We come walking off, and the cops pushing people out of the way and goes, "Just stay with me, and I'll lead you through the club. And if you get separated, I cannot protect you." Are you serious?
Get to the chopper.
Yeah. Dude, so there was 2,000 people in that club that weekend.
Yeah, they had to clear a path for us to get in there.
Yeah,
because the VIP table was all the way in the back behind the DJ booth in the main bar. And I'm like,
the club was huge.
Yeah,
it was pretty fucking huge.
It had three different sections in it. It was really cool. So I remember we got into the main room, and I'm sitting there going, "This is by far the coolest night of my life." And as far as I'm concerned, this is just what y'all do every weekend because I barely knew you guys.
Right, right.
So anyway, we get into
that's
the
plan.
At the time.
Yeah, and we did all the time.
We get into the club. The DJ sets up his ones and twos or whatever y'all call them. And then,
dicks. Call them turntables.
And he had this giant.
CDJs.
He had this giant, comically large dick. Like dildo.
What?
Do you remember the big dildo? He had the giant dildo he's waving at everyone.
Oh, my God. Oh, sorry.
So now I'm sitting there watching the DJ grabbing this giant dildo and scratching with it on the turntables. And he looked at me, winked. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
He was a lot of fun, though. I'll give him that. He's a good guy.
Anyway. The party starts going off. Everything's going very well. What we were unaware of is that the DJ for the night had gotten some substance. Now, being the fact that I'm new to the scene, I know about no drugs at all. But we'll get to the substance in a minute.
We're in glass houses at this point. So let's not point fingers at the DJ.
Okay,
he didn't
everyone was on a substance, but they all knew their limits. So anyway, at this point, I didn't know anything about drugs or anything like that. I really couldn't even tell you what the drug was at the time when they first alerted. And we'll get to the death of the DJ in a minute, but and what it was. But he apparently was starting to imbibe in some sort of drug type thing. But night was going great. He's killing it.
It was
the crowd
was
is
nuts.
Blown.
That party.
They were having to when the club finally closed and lights come up. They were pushing people out in droves.
Yeah, dude, that shit was by far one of the best parties down there.
It was great.
Dude,
it was great.
It was awesome. They had us on that elevated fucking VIP back there with the brass bars around it. We just had to hang over the bar and be like, talk to one of the bartenders. Whatever, like, I just need like some shots or whatever.
Just passing them up.
Johnny Quest was out there blowing fire.
Oh yeah, that was so much fun.
And if you know who Johnny Quest is, and then you know what club I'm talking about.
And you know our other friend who he looks exactly alike.
The evil twins.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's also where we met JoJo, Joey Bag of Donuts.
Joey Bag of Donuts.
No nuts.
But yeah, so we leave the club. They're very, very happy. And we all jump in.
We had to stay a little bit later to collect money and stuff like that. So some people had already started taking off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we started losing some of the crowd, some of the people that came with us in the bus.
And you know, you have that like zombie walk out in the parking lot trying to figure out how we're going to get back.
Yeah, you got the girl crying on the phone, yelling, going, you're going to have to come pick me up. No, he left me already. And like that shit's going on. Right, and the girls are crying and yelling, and guys are yelling at the girl, going, get the fuck in the car. she's like, I'm not going anywhere there. Get your hands off me. And it's like, while y'all were getting paid, I just kind of sort of sat and watched the reality show, which is very entertaining. So I'm sitting there with Mitch.
That's always a good time.
Sitting there with Mitch. And the three of y'all and a couple girls are in the getting paid by the owner and, I don't know, getting dick sucked. I don't know. I assumed everyone's just getting blown.
Just dicks everywhere.
I remember just thinking, like, I didn't get invited to the dick party. I got invited to everything else over the dick part. Mm. Oh, well.
Missed out.
So anyway, people are dispersing now, and some of the group is whittling down. It's just the core group of the guys that were at the hotel originally.
Right, right.
And we get poured. I don't know whose car I got. By this point, I'm pretty fucking drunk. I get poured in somebody's car and taken over to a place called Bedlam, which I think we talked about in the episode about you, Stinky Jeans.
That was episode one. Yeah. That was the same club, yes.
Same place. Shutting it down when the sun comes up.
So it's the late night place. We end up over at Bedlam, and it's one of those BYOB kind of places. And they give us a bottle of Jaeger to take over there. And one of the owners, I think his name was Ryan, came over with us, and we were drinking with him. And we were just...
It was the after party of the celebratory after party where we came in and we fucking do an awesome party. We got paid.
We had such a great party. We should go party about that party. Right. Man.
Yeah, we'll spend all this party money we just made
on partying.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
You're just layering the parties. So we get over there, and obviously by the time you get to Bedlam, it's like the polish has worn off of the party. I'm not going to bed yet, motherfucker.
I'm just getting started.
So then we end up closing down the late night place that I think is an impossible thing. Apparently can.
The sun does come up.
The sun's about
to come
up.
They threw us out of there around 5:30.
Yeah. So about 5:30, they're pushing us out the back door of Bedlam, and I get poured into somebody else's car, taken back to the hotel. And so we end up just open up, my room ends up being the party room. So I'm in there and I'm still drinking and everyone's raging and drinking and fucking having a great time.
It was awesome. Like, I remember being in there, we were just fucking drinking beers.
Yeah, we were just drinking beers. I think it's still some Jaeger.
I tapped out a little before you guys and went to my room.
Anyway.
Call it a night.
I'm a sensible young man.
Aaron's a little older.
Yeah.
And he nods out and later, gentlemen, it was a great evening. Yeah. And
good day.
to you and yours. And he takes off, but so it's Max, Nick,
I left the girls that were with me.
Two chicks that were with Aaron, he ditched in a room with three other dudes.
Right.
Priorities. And you know what he was doing? I can guarantee as soon as he got back to that room, he looked in the mirror and flattened his hair a little more. Because he wanted to look good before he laid his head on his pillow.
Bed, yeah.
So
that's a true story.
Oh, no.
Oh God.
So anyway,
somebody's watching me sleep. I want to be adorable.
We kept the party going. At some point, Max was finally the voice of reason, and he said when he opened the door and he's looking out at the beach and the sun's coming up, and he just kind of goes, it's time to go to bed. I can see the sun.
Right.
It's like 7:30 in the morning. So everyone just kind of agrees that you're right. This does have to come to an end at some point.
So everybody starts, laying down and kind of passing out a little bit.
Going into separate rooms or finding places to be and stuff. And because mine was the party room, next thing you know, there's about five of us.
It whittled down to the last five. Few.
Now, Nick is still kind of raging a little bit. Like you can't shut him off. He doesn't go from 11 back to zero. It's going to take a minute to wind down. But if you get him horizontal, you can shut him down pretty quick. So Max,
I was pretty fucking
Max
drunk
is in, is in, is in his bed with the two girls that were originally with Aaron. So he's laying there with the two girls in his bed. I'm laying on my bed and I'm starting to fade real quick. So I'm laying on the edge of my bed. And Nick, who won't shut down, just keeps like looking at us like.
I was all jumpy, like yeah, fucking jumping on the beds and everything.
Yeah, he's like bouncing off the beds. And then finally, Nick just dives on top of Max and the two girls, like lays over him.
Straight up, just like flying burrito. Just
and he thinks, yeah, just does, yeah, flying burrito right on top of them. And he's like laughing. He thinks it's hilarious. And then he just starts fake snoring because he thinks it's funny to act like he fell asleep on him. He's like, ha ha. Starts fake snoring and then starts real snoring.
Yeah, he can't fake snore. It reminds him of sleeping.
Because he's raging. He's raging. He's raging. He got horizontal. He's out. It was so weird because he's like, ha ha. I'm snoring.
So that was fucking hilarious. But,
so he cashes out. And I remember Max is slapping him on the head because Max is starting to suffocate because Nick is slowly sinking into them and pushing them under the bed. And so finally, Max slaps and wakes him up and goes, dude, get off of me. And so Nick just kind of jumps from that bed unknowingly onto my bed with me.
You're welcome.
At this point, he's not together anymore and doesn't realize he just jumped in my bed. So I'm on the back side of the bed. I don't care. I'm like, dude, whatever. Bro needs a bed. I don't care. And I pass out. I don't even pay attention.
All right. Well, when you were the last one, everyone at the hotel's passed out. Mm. I was the first to wake up because I went to bed a couple hours before you did. I woke up and I was like, holy crap. Checkout time is in 20 minutes.
Yeah. That was bad. We had a bunch of passed out idiots.
We got to take some action. And so I stretched and got out of my comfy bed where I'd spent the night in my comfy room by myself. I went over and knocked on Joey's doors. Joey was on one side of me and Patrick's room on the other. And I knocked on Joey's door. And after a few minutes, I got him. And he like comes to the door all sleepy. I'm like, hey, man, checkout time is coming. We need to wake everybody up and get started on this whole thing. Checkout's at 11 a.m. and I'm messing around. I finally get Joey out of his room and then we go over to, Patrick's room.
Now, this is what's going on inside my room at the moment. Okay. This is just before we realize that everyone's up and moving. Nick is face down in a pillow at this point.
Yep.
I'm laying on the right side of him. He's, on the left side of the bed. And then there's another bed on the far left side of the room
with Max.
And then there's the girl, Max, girl.
Right.
Nick's face comes up out of the pillow. cuts left over to
Max.
Yeah, because
they had left the door open.
It was like, cracked,
it was
still, by the
way. Cracked.
It was ajar, if you will.
When we came to knock, we just opened the door.
So at this point, Nick looks over at Max, and he is so confused because it's not coming together real quick.
No, dude.
It takes a little while for it to wind back up.
Yeah.
So he looks over at Max, and he goes, where are we? And Max, you know, he's like in a piss smelling room. He goes, Ritz Carlton. And then, so
what a dick.
And the thing is, so then Nick just kind of looks down the pillow, like trying to put shit together, like Ritz Carlton smells like piss. And then he starts crack his neck over to the right
like
side.
Very slowly.
The thing is, at this point, because I hear them talking, I have now rolled over. I'm up on my side looking over towards them. He looks over at me, just these bloodshot wide eyes looking at me. He just cranks his head over towards me, and we make eye contact, and I go, hey, cutie.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
All I could see is
now,
the two.
Hold on. You can get there in a second. So as you go, hey, cutie. And then he looks back down. He's like, oh, my God, the new guy fucked me. So at this point, we're both kind of laying up on our sides looking over at Max trying to put the night together.
Yeah.
And
so
that
Patrick's,
is when the door.
Is that how that happened? Is that your excuse?
Patrick was pointed towards the direction of Max. I was pointed towards the direction of Max. And we may have been a little closer than you could. Your eyes are old. It may have.
So go ahead,
Aaron.
What did you see when you opened the door?
All I know is the door was cracked, so we just went ahead and opened it. And light spills in, and what I see is Max
it's you
and two
Joey,
girls on the other on the far bed.
Which is the first thing you're going to notice.
And I was like,
Hey, good job.
Yeah. And then
those are my girls.
I noticed Patrick and Nick are spooning.
We were not spooning exactly.
No, it was exactly a spoon.
Well, then I was big spoon. Bullshit. Doesn't matter.
No, we talk about this all
anyway,
the time.
So all I see is I see the silhouette of because I think as soon as Aaron sees that, he's like, I'm out. And he walks away. And then
Joey, I did. I was like, I know everything I need to know about what happened goes, in there. I'm going to go change clothes.
Don't pin in the story. I got one that's better. And then he leaves.
makes me want wardrobe too.
Joey steps in the room. The photographer steps in the room. And all I can see is just a silhouette, like a gunslinger in the doorway.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of something funny to say because now I know how this looks. So I look at Joey, and then he looks over at the girls, and then he looks over at us, and I go, it's not what it looks like, and which just gave him a story.
Yeah.
So if he didn't connect the story, I made him connect the story all of a sudden. So anyway,
here's what we're calling it.
So everyone starts getting up and starts moving around. We start noticing that the fourth room at the very end, which was the DJ's room,
was not opening.
All three other doors were moving. We got everybody accounted for except DJ.
Nothing.
And we know that the DJ went back with a girl that night, too.
Had left with actually what I thought was two chicks is the last time I saw him was walking out of the club with two girls.
So I remember we started knocking on the door. He wasn't responding. We finally just – I think we called – we had the number for one of the girls.
Right,
and we called
her.
And she said, oh, no, I left. I wasn't there. It was my friend, blah, 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 that stayed with him that night.
Right.
So then we got her number and called her. And she said, oh, no.
He passed out. I left.
Yeah, he passed out and I left. But he was very nice. Everything was fine. I was like, okay, so you're not in the room then right now. She goes, no, I'm already gone.
Yeah, she was like, I left hours ago.
So then we're trying to figure – yeah, she said she left like – hours and I was
it's past 11 o'clock,
right? Yeah, and we've got the maids fucking like knocking on all the doors, you know, trying to like clean because it's checkout time.
Yeah, and we're trying to be cool with the maids. I remember just saying, oh, I know we're
on our way.
It was a late night, you know, that we were here for the party and everything like that, and they're not like in a super rush, but they still they want us the hell out of the way. So remember Mitch and I were standing by the DJ's door because we were trying to get his attention while the rest of y'all finished packing up your shit. So Mitch looks over the housekeeper and says, hey, can you open the door for us? You know, and I was like, yeah, the guy, he's really drunk. We know he passed out.
Yeah, he's passed out hard.
We want to make sure he's got pants on and stuff like that. So just if you could open the door and just kind of step away.
And she was cool because she just popped the door and turned around.
She just popped the door and didn't even look, just popped, opened the key for us and then walked off. So I'm
glad she didn't look.
Which never happens.
So I'm standing just outside the door frame. Mitch opens the door. I remember he pops his head in. Then pops his head right back out and looks at me, and he just white with his big eyes,
ghost.
Like saucer eyes, and he just kind of goes, we got a problem. I then rock my head around the corner of the frame of the door and look into the room, and there's this giant white body just laying on the bed with this green bile-looking shit coming out of his mouth, and it doesn't look like he's moving.
Yeah, it was – is that when you came and got us?
That's when I looked over at Mitch. I go, hey, man. We need to find the first person we know that deals with drugs or would know how to deal with someone with drugs. And so we would go, Nick and Aaron. They would know first. And the first person we see at this point, Nick still doesn't know what's going on. The first person we see, because Aaron's been up for hours and he's got glasses on, flat iron hair.
I was already ready.
Bedazzled jacket. He's got his ring, click, click, click. And he's bebopping around. Like, you know, I always feel like Aaron's got music going on in his head at all times.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of got a swagger.
He lives by a soundtrack.
He's got a swagger and a beat the whole time. So
walks with purpose.
So Aaron, come here real quick. We got a problem. Or you need to come in here. We got to figure out what we're doing. And so he comes walking in. It's like he walked in like he didn't realize. It's almost like he stepped in a snake pit. Like he was already like deep into the room before he realized.
Before it registered.
Yeah. I thought it was some kind of trick. And look, at this point, I've been
around. You remember his first reaction. Aaron's initial reaction
was
like,
not my problem. As soon as he walked in the room.
He figured it out.
And he saw the body, he just turns around and goes, not my problem. And it's like, okay, so that's what we learned.
That's when I stopped him.
I said, people that deal with drugs, what you learn is if you see a dead body, just go the other way.
That's generally how you deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
No. I said, Aaron, we can do this.
I needed a second to think about it.
Yeah, so he walks back out. He's about to get in his car. I mean, he's not like down at his car. He kind of walks back out and he kind of looks around. He goes and grabs Nick. He says, Nick, we got to do something. And he grabs Joey. We got to do something. And so that's when we all start converging. And that's when the rest of the group is starting to find out that there's a problem going on.
And we had to fucking figure out a plan fast.
They weren't all dealing with it very well.
No, I mean, come on. That happens. It's just one of the things. People do that.
Well, we did break into action pretty quickly, though.
We did.
And we rolled into his room really fast. And the two chicks that had originally been with me came in. I put one on trying to get some clothes on him.
Because he was stark naked.
And he was breathing.
Yeah, he was.
He was breathing. Turned his though it was gargling through his own vomit and everything. It was kind of gross, but he was not getting up. He had a pulse.
We did that whole rigmarole of just
tried everything, poured water on his face.
But it was like I remember it was like very shallow breathing, and it was kind of scary.
To be scary. Yeah,
especially for me. Once again, had no clue about any of this shit, and all of a sudden I'm dealing with a lot of crap. This hit me.
Well, that's
so fast.
The funny part is because you've got the bystanders watching, like you know, the first responders, if you will, go into action.
Because
be
it's
like,
weird. It's like it was like everything was real peaceful that morning. We're all kind of moving, getting stuff. And it was like someone kicked over an anthill, because all of a sudden it's like frantic movement. And
but
it's
you
like,
have to go into action so you don't look suspicious.
Y'all are,
but
y'all
had to be cool.
We had to be cool.
We didn't want to draw any attention.
Because if someone starts noticing screaming or yelling or moving around too much, it's going to grab too much attention. People are going to
get
serious.
Oh, yeah. They'll
and I start realizing how quiet it has to stay. Like, it starts being, keep this door shut, blah, blah, blah. And,
right.
So I remember you had one of the girls put pants on him.
Yeah, I had to go for that. And I knew the killer what took him.
You had to find it.
Had to have been in that room. Yeah. So somewhere. I started looking.
I do remember
to
you going,
we're with.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it because I know.
If I was a drug, I know.
And Aaron goes,
where would I put it?
And here's the thing. Here's the great thing about Aaron's little quest right there. He goes, okay, look. Like, because he had gotten the girls to take care of the DJ. And then, like, you know, we were figuring out a situation to, like, you know, transport him or whatever. But he goes, I am going to find it. I'm going to do it right now. And it was a blink of an eye. Because Aaron goes, it literally was.
I think he looked at one place first, and it was the second place
he looks, and he goes, found it, and then put it in his pocket.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, I went into the bathroom, and none of the towels had been used. I was going to grab a towel to help clean up.
Right.
I was like, these will be handy.
We
and
had
then,
a.
Nestled in between all the towels
was the
is
killer.
A water bottle with just a little bit of clear liquid at the bottom. But no one
now what is the
hides
clear liquid?
A water bottle. Well, that's what I needed to find out. Right. So I quickly put.
How do you find out?
I'll tell you.
He poured himself a cap.
We used the laboratory in my belly. I poured a little cap full and
knew what he was gonna like. He knew what it tasted like.
Swallowed
and he was
it.
Just confirming it.
I was confirming my theory.
Yeah.
And
apparently had a good time afterwards.
Quickly, it was confirmed, and I was like, okay, this man.
This is what happened. He's.
So now it's like he's putting together a crime scene. Like was it on Boondock Saints? He's like, "This is what happened," and he starts going through
all the motions.
And then, you know, like
he came here and drank this, walked over there, and probably collapsed naked pre-jerk off. I'm gonna go with that
because the girl left and he didn't get it out, so he's over here. He's about to jerk off. He
so,
finished that.
So they get he figures that out. We get. Shit, he gets dressed, and then we have to
all the vomit.
We clean up the room. We get all of his shit. We put all this shit in the truck.
Clean too much of the room because he had somehow gotten vomit on
everything.
Every fucking thing.
Like the bed was just vomit, and that was the tough part. Ugh,
it was tough. But the problem is now is
a 250-pound dead body.
The hotel is active, and we're on the third floor.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And now all the other people are going off to the beach with their families or whatever, you know, and they're just like
clear visibility to the busiest street in Pensacola Beach.
Now, here was the other sad part is that right across the street in the parking lot for the Pensacola Beach were three cop cars staring right towards us.
Yeah, they were all pointed right at our hotel. And then, see, when we were trying to figure out, okay, so I don't want to jump around too much, but at one point we had to get, you know, pillows for comfort.
Well, that came
and those
after,
were flying over the balcony.
Well, at that time we were at the fulfillment of the exit strategy.
Now this is
still the
let's get the dead body to the car first. We I remember just sitting there with my eyes
real
wide.
We sent Max out before we knew what was happening to find a way
to get
him to the car
without
anyone seeing him.
Right.
So I'm standing there in the back of the room just kind of staring, watching this all happen, kind of freaked out. And we decide that we're going to have to do, and this is with the term weekend at Burning's.
Whatever, you're good.
Weekend at Burning.
We're going to Burning the thing.
We burn.
And we
item.
Suddenly realize we have to carry this body. And I'm still just standing there in the corner trying to be inconspicuous and no one look at me and I'm not a part of this. And I don't know you people. I got my own room. And
yeah, but that was the problem. Max, He came up with his idea, which was a wobbly luggage cart.
Like, he was going to put a dead body on the luggage cart, and just like, no one's going to notice
we'll
that.
We'll just dump our suitcases on top of him.
Cover it with a coat.
Right.
And it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. So I figured we had to weaken and burn this guy. So I knew Nick was going to be helping, but this guy's like 230, 240
pounds. That's the thing. He's the biggest guy in the group. He's like 6'4".
We had to. We finally got the. We pulled the trigger, and it was, you know, Patrick. You know, Aaron and I are talking. He's like, we just got to fucking pick his ass up and just as best we can the weekend of Bernie's. And he's like, you got to pick him up. And I go, okay. And then I look at Aaron. I go, you're not helping.
No,
and then I look.
I was definitely not going
to
be helping.
You're not going to do any serious lifting. And then I immediately turned to Patrick. I was like, Patrick, you're the biggest one next to me. Let's go. And he's what?
So
what?
I remember what? We had a lift.
I just met you guys.
I was like, I don't know you guys. I got to go. But no, I remember we lifted him up. I remember just picking this heavy-ass man up.
And he's a sack of fucking potatoes, man.
Oh, yeah, he's just dead weight.
Yeah,
he's just completely unconscious.
Unfortunately, his head kind of rocked to my side.
Yeah,
so he's
sorry about that, buddy.
He's breathing that vile breath right in my... I'm gagging at this point.
Breathe it. And God bless the girls. All that they could do was put his pants on, no underwear, and a shirt.
Yeah,
so
they packed his bags, stuff, but he grabbed his toothbrush.
He didn't have any shoes, okay?
Yeah.
He did not have shoes.
Even though Patrick and I are pretty big guys carrying a dead body, it's hard to like
dragging
right like the tops of his feet, like he was a dead rag doll.
And I remember
that is so hard to be, you know, cool, calm, and collected when you're trying to lug a 250-pound.
Hey, we have to do it quickly too.
And what I loved was when you guys would talk to him. Overdid it last night, didn't you, buddy?
Grab
have
his,
fun, kids.
Grab his
have
hand,
fun on the beach.
Start grabbing his hand, flopping, waving at people. Hey! So he's now a human marionette for us, and we're having a good time.
But man, but we had everybody working on the path.
Max had to grab his feet, so now he's doing this like angel move, you know, towards the hotel. And we had to get in the
truck too. Like,
we had to get him in the elevator,
get him down three floors, and get him into the truck without the cops seeing him being carried out or anybody else. Because
any of the guests,
any guests, so it was
any
real
4-year-old girl in flip flops.
Yeah, throw him.
Oh my god.
Throw him into the car.
Shut up. It's just a body.
That's when pillows start shooting over the top of the railing because we're...
Yes, I'd asked the girls to start throwing down pillows so we could prop him up.
Yeah. So we
Because I
have
didn't
the...
want him laying down if he's going to be coughing up vomit and everything.
Yeah, that was for his safety.
That's just a tip, kids.
So at this point, I'm thinking, all right.
Don't choke on your vomit.
My job is done here. All I have to do is just...
Get in the truck.
Just get my truck and go the fuck away. And I go to get my truck, and there's a big Nick sitting in my passenger seat. And there's a Mitch in the back seat. And I'm like, hey, guys. And he goes, you're driving us home, dude. And
I didn't ask.
So,
I didn't ask.
No, you're taking us back. And so I get in my truck. I'm like, okay. Because at this point, I'm kind of shell-shocked.
He wasn't during the powwow. See, after we got the body in, we had a quick powwow, me and Max and Nick.
Oh, yeah. And I decided I was riding back. Yeah, because we had to, like, okay, now that we got everything, we just got to get out of here smoothly.
We're going to commandeer that truck first.
So, and we also made sure that, you know, what we left one at a time, very slowly, like no attention.
Well, I get in the truck, and we decided we had to get away from the hotel as fast as possible. Just, you know, we'll regather down the street or something. So we go down to the Whataburger, which I thought was also funny because we just left the dead body in the car and went and got burgers.
Yeah. Oh, that was the one right before you get on the interstate. Yeah,
by Sammy's.
So we put some miles between us.
Yeah,
you know,
just get
went
right
to a different county.
Away from the scene of the crime.
Yeah. And so then, you know, so now I'm driving two more people home, and I just, you know, one I woke up with. So that,
you're welcome.
We had that going on. And so we rock it home. Now, I remember partway home, at this point, Nick's got my laptop in his lap, and he's playing music through my...
I was the DJ.
Through my iTunes into the speakers. So I can... So he's sitting there DJing, and he's such an asshole. He just starts deleting songs off my iTunes if he doesn't like it. He's like, why do you have this?
Favor.
Fuck that. And then he delete, permanent delete, and like...
I just trashed your trash. You're fucked.
And so he just starts going through everything and doing that. And then
And then Mitch was in the back, and every 2 seconds, shut up, Mitch.
Yeah,
shut
we
up.
Had to keep telling Mitch to shut up because he'll just keep talking. Cool. So
he's a chatty guy.
Almost home was when the DJ finally came conscious again.
Yeah, he was in the truck.
Looked like a zombie. whatever like that. So when he finally regained consciousness, I got a little more comfortable. I was like, okay, thank God he is alive.
He is alive.
So the problem
was... I got
was,
a text message at this point saying said, that the DJ was alive.
Yeah. Thank you for the update.
I don't think you're like, what DJ? I don't have a clue.
Well, the whole thing was...
What are you talking about?
What was funny, too, is that all of this happened, and then we were had dates that night. Like, we had a Saturday night party that we had to go
back
to.
Back in Atlanta.
And we had to get... At, yeah,
Fever.
Fever.
It's a do not miss.
Don't miss. And then we had to get the DJ that we hired to play my party to go to his normal job.
Yes.
Yeah. That was
in
the thing.
Like
he got
4 hours.
Yeah. So we, I remember we were rocketing home and then everyone keeps like, we should stop at Arby's. I'm kind of hungry. I'm like, dude, doesn't he have to be on, he had to be on the air at the pop station in Atlanta at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he
we
was
rolled
on the
up,
radio at nine.
We rolled up at nine and got, he got jumped in his car and took off. And he also had to play the Club Fever, the main room, later that night.
Yeah.
So he had a lot of shit going on.
I remember when he woke up, he forgot that he'd throw the party with us.
He had no recollection of anything that happened and didn't remember being at the party or the Pensacola. He just knew he woke up in a truck. And so
yeah,
anyway,
feeling.
when we get back to the place, get back to y'all's apartment at the time.
In the Vinings.
And Vinings. And
good times over there.
DJ jumps in his car, takes off to the radio station, and I'm sitting there going, all right, now my responsibility is done. I can go, right?
Like, fuck and, these guys.
Yeah, fuck these guys.
I don't want any
Went
more
from
of this.
Thinking we're awesome to so, thinking we're insane.
Yeah, you're absolutely out of your mind.
This is what you
now,
do.
At this point, Aaron didn't come back up with us. He stayed in Florida. And Nick,
party for a few more days.
And so I'm kind of telling Nick, all right, bye. And, you know, Max at this point is taking back off to his house because he's got to get showered and dressed for the club. And I'm like, all
right,
guys.
Right.
Thanks for letting me hang out with you guys. Got to go. And just like back away.
Slowly. Or so you thought.
And Nick just says to me, he goes, no, dude. No. You're going out with us tonight, bro.
He's like, no.
I'm like, no. Well, I probably got to go back home and shower.
I said,
no.
I know you have clothes.
He goes, you've already got clothes, bro.
I was just like, you know our secrets.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere. You shower here, dude. And
I did
thing,
say that. I was like, shower here, but he had to shower in my shower.
That was horrible. Nick's shower. It's like something you would hose off.
I'm
shit
different
covered
now.
Doll.
Man, you should have let him use
there
my
was
shower.
Like, there was like two white
footprints
where the foot, yes, where the only clean area on the tub was where the feet were, and everything else was just black.
Yeah, if he liked
black.
You,
he'd have
sent you to mine.
It was like maybe
got
brownish. I mean,
but it was
terrible,
pretty gross.
Nick.
So I had to pull myself back together because Nick wouldn't let me leave.
Yeah.
And we ended up going to the club with them that night at Fever. So as we're walking up, the front door guy at Fever, which is Derek, I believe,
probably
was standing at the front door. And as we're walking up, he goes. He sees the two of us and just starts smiling. Because
we're walking together.
Yeah, walking together. He goes,
look at my new pal.
He's like, hey, you lovebirds. And it's like, found out. He already knew.
That
we were woke up in a bed together. And it was like, that story had already gotten back to Atlanta before we did.
Oh, social networking.
So,
yeah, and Joey G.
Yeah, Joey G's got the biggest mouth. He called everyone and told everyone that, you know, we
woke up. You know, Nick and Patrick woke up next to each other, man.
And then,
like, that's the biggest news of the night.
Yeah,
right.
There was a lot of other shit, but we kept it real quiet. I know that we weren't supposed to say anything about, you know, killing the DJ.
We're trying to be cool.
And,
yeah. Like, we're going to take
we
this secret to our
grave. We actually saved his life.
Yeah, and so.
We did save his life.
We're taking this secret to our
I
graves.
I keep drinking.
Apparently.
Y'all keep giving me a Jaeger and shit, so I keep partying with y'all in Fever. Well, Nick, Aaron wasn't there, but I keep partying with you that night. And then
Aaron's gone, so me and Patrick are like the new fucking super duo,
right,
of rocking it.
Shouting at people.
Yeah.
And you know, fist
the whole
pumping.
Time, like, Mitch was like, you know, me too, right?
I'm in the group, right? And then,
like, yes, you are, Mitch. Come
so
on,
here comes the DJ that is alive. Very alive DJ. Looks like a bag of shit, but he's coming.
Yeah.
He's there.
Smash some
assholes. He comes in. He starts spinning. He looks up at the balcony and sees Nick and myself kind of leaning over the balcony partying. And he just cuts the music down, looks over because he's very grateful that we saved his life because he knew that we carried him out of the hotel.
Yeah.
He goes, this goes out to my spooners up there in the corner. And he goes,
he's like,
he played like Air Supply or something.
He's like, thanks for everything, Nick and Patrick.
Yeah.
And then he gave shout outs to everybody else that was down there and helped
him
out.
He realized that he was dead.
He had fucked up.
And he had fucked up and he was a liability. But the
Reaper comes for us
the
all
fact that
several
he already,
times.
The fact that he
parties.
Found out that we were spooning was like, who told the dead DJ that we were spooning?
Yeah.
He didn't even have his wherewithal to turn on the CDJ. Like.
You're deflecting.
So ended up closing down that club that night and ended up going to another room, a cabin room. It was like ended up at the late night
after hours club.
After
in
hours
Atlanta.
Place there.
Atlanta.
and ended up drinking there all night. And finally, I was like, can I go home now? And I went home and slept for like 2 days. But
I woke up with a whole new outlook.
Most fun I ever had was with you guys.
Yeah,
and
we had a blast
that
too.
Story is the reason I still hang out with you and wanted to do the podcast anyway. So thank you very, very much.
That was a great way to just ring in an everlasting friendship and business venture and everything.
You know what,
all of that. That's just, those are the kind of bonding experiences where you really meet good people and you really understand how they are in certain situations.
Yeah, trial by fire.
Yeah, we showed Patrick everything and he didn't run like hell. So we embraced
it's a learning
him even
experience.
More.
I learned a lot and I appreciate it.
Yes, we're douchey, but we're handy to have around an emergency that involves drugs or crime.
That just involves drugs.
Yes, yeah, come on, no fires.
People
please.
Listen to this.
Now, everyone listening, if you have a story about overdosing or a crazy party that went too long, send us your story at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com with the subject line party story or overdose story. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Peace.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.